Luke chapter 4, the first 11 verses. And soon as you get there, please stand. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. I'm reading. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And when the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up to the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him again, "It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Wow. Wow. As a title to our sermon today, Obedience in the Wilderness. Obedience in the Wilderness. The Bible says in verse 1, the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tested. In the previous chapter, we see that Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptist. That is a curious thing. John saw Jesus to be baptized, and he said, "Now I need to be baptized by you. So how in the world can I baptize you? Because I need for you to baptize me." Jesus said to him, "Let it be so, so that we can fulfill all righteousness." And I think this is amazing. Because to be baptized by something means that you're now identified with it. Did you hear me? He's identified with sinful man so that I can be identified with a holy God. Now the Spirit leads him into the wilderness now to be tested. Since you've been identified with man, I want to see what you're made of. Did you hear what I'm saying? Wherever you are today, we are seeing exactly what you're made of. No matter how deep the rut is, it don't matter. We're seeing exactly what you're made of. But in Jesus' case, this is a very interesting thing. He's the Son of God, the creator of all things. And now, listen, a creature is going to test the creator. Amazing! And we do the same thing. I got to tell you the truth. Anytime we try to plot our own way, we're now telling the Creator, "I know better than you." What an environment. In the wilderness, Not in a beautiful garden. And this is the parallel. Adam in the garden. Everything perfect. Trees, grass, whatever. Everything is perfect. And now he is tested, but he fails the test. So now we see the creator of all things go into a hostile environment. And if you look in the other gospels, they say that wild beasts were there with him in this wilderness. A hostile environment to be tested to see who you are. Interesting. Now, in a perfect environment, Adam failed. But in the imperfect environment, the last Adam triumphed. So that tells me it don't matter what my circumstance is. It don't matter what they say. I will prevail. If I am led by the Spirit, I'm going to prevail. Sickness, I'm going to prevail. Interestingly enough, he was communing with God for 40 days. And it's whenever we're the weakest. Have you been in the valley for a while? You've been kind of bumped around, Pastor, and bumped around, and you bumped around, and you say, man, it don't take nothing but a feather to kind of tip me over. After 40 days, and Jesus gets hungry, now comes the creature to try to tempt the Creator. Right. Well, you hungry now. I got a foothold for you. But I tell you, it don't matter what's going on. If God be for me and in me, he's more than the world against me. So no matter how I feel, no matter how long I've been in the valley, he's still taking care of me. Not only is he taking care of me, but he's going to make me victorious. Not for my glory, but for his glory. He's hungry. Satan comes. Listen, if you're hungry, turn these stones into bread. Interesting. Who was he talking to? He was talking to the bread of life. The living bread. When they got manna in the wilderness, it was a symbol of Jesus Christ. That's who he's talking to. Turn these stones into bread. He is the bread of life. What about you? What has he provided you today? Okay, brother. So I'm moving on. Turn these stones into bread. Is the word of God more important to you, or his mission that he's got you on more important than your natural sustenance? Than the food you eat? Than the money you're going to make? What's more important? What's more important? They came to Jesus. He was in the house ministering, and he hadn't eaten. And he had his family outside the door say, you need to eat, brother. Something wrong with you. But the real deal is it's more important for me to do exactly what God told me to do as, well, I got to eat, but what's more important is what God told me to do. Because that's the thing that sustains my life for real. Because if it hadn't been for Jesus, I would have been dead in my sins and I would have been on my way to hell. So it is now more important for me to do exactly what God told me to do. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew 6:33, Brother Lay would read what? What's it read? Just a second. Let me get back to you.
Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Mm. That sounds like a promise to me. Focus on God. Focus on what he has for you. If you do that, he will take care of you. Whatever you need, whatever sustenance you need, he's going to fix it up for you. Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:19. Oh, somebody get that. Philippians 4:19. And it's interesting while you're getting there. Jesus responds with scripture from Deuteronomy 8:3. And then the devil himself now comes to respond with scripture. Interesting. That's why we have to be studied in the Word of God. Not only studied in the Word of God, we got to know what the whole thing lines up. What's the common thread that runs through the Bible? If I know that, you can't trip me up because now I know myself. And he can use scripture, but it's always out of context. It's always out of context. And I won't know that unless I know the Bible. And more importantly, the Bible got to know me. Philippians 4:19. Brother Ernest, can you read that for me?
Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Where you at, I don't care where you at, what you doing, the God, and we just read in Psalms, he remembers those things that he said forever. Jesus answers with scripture. Satan answers with scripture also. The scripture is true that he said, but the issue is the timing of the scripture that he gave wasn't proper. So we have people running around here claiming scriptures, and they don't really know the Bible, and the scripture is not timely for them. Did you hear what I said?
All right.
Listen, Creflo A. Dollar Jr., I know that's a bad word, Pastor. Creflo A. Dollar Jr., the Bible says the Lord God never sleeps, slumbers or sleeps. He who watches over Israel. And then in his rendition of a scripture, he said, wasn't Jesus asleep in the front of the boat or the rear of the boat? The implication to that is says, is he really God? But you don't know if you don't know the scripture. That's what the tempter is counting on. You don't know the scripture. I can feed you anything and you'll eat it up. Let's read 5 and 6. Matthew chapter 4, 5 and 6. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. That is taken right out of Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12. What they usually tend to try to get you to do, they want you to try to feel your need yourself. They don't want you to, those who are acting in the test want you to feel your need yourself. They don't want you to wait on God. But the Bible says, they that wait on the Lord, what shall they do? They shall renew their strength. They shall what? With wings of eagles. They shall run and not get weary. Because what? They waiting on the Lord. He tries to give Jesus this line. And Jesus says in verse 7. Jesus said to him, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. But God says in Malachi chapter 3, put me to the test.
All right.
Interesting, isn't it? You yourself don't tell me when to move and how to move. But in Malachi 3, he said, put me to the test. Whatever I have said in Malachi 3, put me to the test. See if it come to pass. In a timely fashion, God works it out. Listen. A created being tries to get the Creator to worship him. It was a little snicker. A created being tries to get the Creator to worship him. Did you hear what I said? He created you, but you want him to worship you. Do you know what this whole thread of thing really is about? It's really about obeying. It's really about obeying. If Jesus had not obeyed everything that the Spirit was leading him to do, I would have been lost. You would have been lost. Our whole situation would have been messed up. Because he did obey, that means that I've now found life. Go to Romans 6:16. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Come on, Phil, read it for me.
Romans 6:16. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness?
Interesting. Whomever you obey, that's who your master is. If I obey the sin nature, that means I am now a servant of what sin? Now, if somebody gets me to the point to where I don't trust God enough to obey God, this happened in a garden for real. God told Adam what not to do. And then Adam listened to his wife on what she wanted to do, which was contrary to what God wanted him to do. Now, that plunged everybody into sin from that point on. So what I said, now when you obey anybody but God, you take everybody down with you that's around you. You know what, y'all? I'm through. My only purpose today was to emphasize obedience and to emphasize you obeying God wherever you're at today. I know we have a lot of claims about health, wealth, and all that stuff. And if you're somewhere and you're kind of struggling that and you can't be a for real Christian, well, I'm here to tell you today that that's a fallacy. If I could put it more bluntly, that's a lie. Because if the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness for testing to see what it was like and see who he was, how in the world do we think that we're going to get away? Because only through the valley. Well, listen, I'm not a real agricultural guy, Pastor, but I saw something once on the Discovery Channel about trees and about how they really, really grow. And that they don't grow well unless they have adverse winds to kind of rock them back and forth to keep the roots loose so that they can grow. It's the same way with a Christian also. Great adversity grows you up to be, I'm Christian man now. And the reason I'm Christian man now is not because I'm so bad. It's because God has worked it out in my life. And my circumstance has shaken me up and kind of got me to the point now to where God can kind of use me in a mighty way. Obedience. I dare you all to obey God. I think sometimes we don't obey because we think if we tell the truth, we're going to get ridiculed, one. And we're going to get in trouble, number two, and we groan and we still scared of getting in trouble. Remember, if you get one thing, exercise that one thing. Become proficient in that one thing, and the word becomes proficient in you.